Welcome to A Course in Miracles. Okay, there is, there are a few qualities that come from the factory. You all came from the factory.
Okay.
There are some qualities that you have that the ego would not let you enjoy. There are some things about you and your creation that the ego, the world, would rather you not enjoy. There are some costs to playing the ego's game to win. And those costs are qualities that you were made with, that you were made by, that the ego would rather you not enjoy. Kind of ruins the whole ego's power. If you take these qualities under which you were created and enjoy them and hold them as true. There are several, we'll just pick one tonight. One of these qualities with which you were created that gets ignored and denied is innocence. Innocence! So if you would, let's think about this word for a few minutes. Drink it in. What is innocence? What does it even mean? What does it feel like to be innocent? Can you even touch that honestly? If you're having a hard time owning that, all the way to your bones. Welcome to A Course in Miracles. If you're having trouble, honestly, simply, feeling perfectly innocent, then perhaps feel innocence by thinking of another, one you love, and wish them to feel, please, innocent. I wish you to feel completely innocent. What do you get? What does someone get who's entirely and completely innocent? What does it buy you? What does it buy you personally? What are you empowered by? What can you do when you're innocent that you can't do when you're loaded with guilt? What's the difference between one who is living with guilt and one who is free with innocence? And finally, and this is personal, go deep, give yourself a gift. If it were offered, would you claim complete and perfect innocence for yourself? What's the difference between living with guilt or living with innocence in a situation? What's the difference?
Night and day.
Peace.
It's different. It's way different.
Mm-hmm. What is open? Mm-hmm. Innocence is open.
Yeah. Not defending, right?
Yeah.
Huh, it's a big difference.
What else? One quality is...
What?
There's an experience or a feeling of just being connected to the world It's that oneness. And then the other side is, I am so separate. Right? I look at the world and, you know, notice the space between me and Carol, and definitely she's a threat. Mm-hmm. We're definitely separate.
Especially if you're guilty. Because mm-hmm. guilt, you know, means you deserve punishment. I mean, isn't that fair? Mm-hmm. After all, did you see you parked your car right on the sidewalk? And that's against the rules. So internally, even if we dust you off the hook, the guilt disconnects. I no longer deserve to park my car, even, you know, I deserve to be punished. Even though it says, no, forget about it. It's okay, it's your first time. We carry something with guilt that we don't carry with innocence. Carry it. We carry it.
Oh, and when you ask that question about, you know, kind of what interferes with it is when you ask the question of if you wanted pure innocence, you can feel the ego pop in. No.
Right.
You can't do that. You're going for it and it's telling you no. When you were doing that, what happened to me is I went back into childhood and I go, whoa, back to childhood, because I've been just recently able to see my childhood as being innocent. Mm-hmm. And then realizing I was, you know, just in a kid or whatever. And all of a sudden you can get all this other stuff, guilt gets piled on you, and you're going, well, how did that happen? You know, what was the deal with that? And it's like, you're a child, you're innocent, but you got a body, you just became attached to it.
Yes.
The body made all that, allowed that to happen. You're like, well.
And some other child
yeah.
doing teenage things who's grown out of it,
yeah.
you would say, you know, you're innocent, but somehow not you, because you were there. You made those selfish decisions to break that thing or steal that thing or do that, whatever.
Yeah, I remember when it went away. I remember when it, because I would just talk truth.
Uh-huh.
Like, tell them what happened. And they started telling me I'm a liar. I can't, you did it. That's not true. That's not, and I go, finally, I just made up stories so they wouldn't tell me I'm a liar. Mm-hmm. You know, I knew it was true, but I didn't like the other kids, you know, judging
mm-hmm.
me.
Mm-hmm.
So I would
navigating the tricky waters of the ego.
Yeah.
And you can look back on that and see innocence.
Yeah, and then I remember, oh man, this is horrible. I told a lie.
Mm-hmm.
And I go like, you know, and you can see where that starts thing. And then back then, you don't know what the heck, you don't have no, there's no guide, there's no nothing.
Yeah.
You haven't figured it out yet.
Yeah.
And you see how things kind of happen.
Yeah.
And they're like, it's like, we put all this, you know, we think there's something in there that we're guilty of, and it's nothing there, really.
How does it feel?
Look at it,
how does it feel? Just feelings now. Guilt versus innocence.
Well, innocence, you have almost this this armor of peace around you. So it doesn't matter what is going on. You're not affected by it. And guilt, you have no armor, and everything comes at you.
Yes.
And you find fault with everything. You have to, because you have this guilt. You've got to project it onto everything else that's going on around you.
Yes, exactly.
And so you live in chaos.
Exactly. Yes, Michaeline.
Well, innocence is very light, and guilt is very heavy. And the heaviness, it weighs on my heart.
On your heart.
It shadows the choices and thoughts that I think. I have a sense of guilt, and when I'm coming from a place of innocence, I feel very light, and my thoughts are pure, and I can trust them, and not worry. It's freeing.
Very, very different way of being. I don't know which one I like. Mm-hmm. But you don't necessarily get to choose, do you? Necessarily. You come in burdened, you know, before A Course in Miracles. With A Course in Miracles, you sort of get off the hook. You get permission. You get taught. You get taught who's holding you in the suffering. With A Course in Miracles, you do. who's the arbiter? Who, I mean, who decides?
We do.
We really do. Even if the court or the loved one says, with all these reasons, how bad you were. Yes. Barbara?
Yes.
Wow. Oh, that was great.
I have no idea.
Yeah, not bad. Because he doesn't remember. Yeah. I understand. Well, that's the miracle, is when you take it, your guilt, to innocence. And so that's the moment in time when that's the big miracle. Because I remember when I was very mad still at my ex-husband, and I was reading the course, and then all of a sudden I wasn't anymore. And I called him up and said I forgave him, and he said, you know, I just had that same experience. Mm-hmm. We forgave each other at the same, almost same moment. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, when you quit feeling guilty, mm-hmm. and yeah, that's all I need to say.
Yeah, because you load yourself up. It's a weight that you carry. And especially when the event is done and over and gone with, in other words, the past. How quickly does the past come? Anybody? How quickly does the past come? Maybe. You got number two? How quickly does the past arrive?
For me, most of my life, the past.
Most of it?
Oh, I've been grasping onto the past.
How much of your life is not the past?
Oh, how much of my life is not
the
past?
Yeah, just give me a rough number.
Oh, the present.
How quick does the past show up? David?
It already has.
Do you know that the latest thing, the neurobiologists are tracking the brain, all these ways to scan the brain. And when you think something, you do something, they're mapping what's controlling what in the brain and all that. And did you know that your best grasp of a present movement is about 80 nanoseconds in the past?
But it's the thought in the present that determines if you're present or not.
How quick does the past show up when you're trying to figure out if you're in the present? Was I in the present then? Let me see.
You can't do it. No.
You can't do it.
And yet,
tell me more.
Well, your entire life is lived in the present.
Are you telling me, despite all the thinking in the past that I do, about my taxes and my dog and my car and the money I owe and the things that I want to do tomorrow even, that all the things I've been thinking about in the past, I can't actually be in the past?
None of the light that shines on you is coming from your shadow.
That sounds deep. Where did that come
from? He's even running nowhere.
You can only move forward in the present. There is no past.
You don't understand.
As you've taught me, except, you know, I mean, I can remember things in the present, but there is no existence in the past.
Yeah. I can think about something 5 years ago.
Stories.
Yes, stories. You know. 5 years in detail. Five, I can think of them very, very particular. But as Course in Miracles says in chapter 28, you're thinking about them now. You're feeling something now that you are assigning to some other time. What about, you know, tomorrow or next week, showing up to this thing that you said you would go to? Is that the future? Are you going to live then? Can you? Does the future ever come?
No.
It's always now. It's always right. You don't live. You're not alive tomorrow. You're not alive yesterday. kind of sobers you up a little bit. You know, your entire life, your living is only right now. And then it's right now. And then it's right now. So things are a lot simpler, maybe. The future that you're worried about, this thing happening, most of them don't happen, right? I mean, that's We're old enough that most of the things we worried about, I don't know, 9 out of 10, I mean, is it higher? Didn't actually happen. Or if they did, they didn't happen the way you thought. And they didn't last as long as you thought. They lasted a lot longer, but it wasn't so bad. I mean, it's never exactly what you... Why are you worrying then?
It didn't matter anyway.
What?
And it didn't matter anyway.
It didn't matter anyway!
I think that's too simplistic.
Yes?
It's too simplistic.
Too simplistic. Okay.
Because you do face a future, and your future isn't always... In fact, it could be worse even than you expect.
Yep. Future could be worse than you thought. Or something happens you weren't even aware of. And it happens. Oh, I should have thought about it. I should have prepared for this.
Yeah.
God, if only yesterday I would have checked the gas before the holiday, I would have had a choice. The gas station's filled up and I'd be okay today. But now what do I got? I mean, if I just would have managed my past better, then the future, which is my present, would be better. Says the ego. Yeah. Well, in A Course in Miracles, we actually deal with life, real consciousness, and not these stories and dreams. You will not find anywhere in the book, except for one particular sentence, anything about form. It mentions all sorts of things, you know, skeletons and blood and laughter and relationships of all types. But the teaching is always about your present attitude. What are you affording right now? It's always right now. The way you feel about your tomorrow, what you should have done yesterday, that's life, isn't it? That happens. It's out of your control. The way somebody hit your car, it was not in your control. Those moments of living, this is what we actually work on. The moments you think you're in loss, behind those moments, that's where it doesn't say in my book anymore, but the miracle is. Right in that moment of loss, when you feel crushed, that's where the miracle is. And it's not about giving you a better life, that you could make it across a desert full of gas.
Or how other people behave or anything like that.
Yes. Or how other people's opinion about you should control your life. Well, in the world, you know, you go along to get along, make other people happy. It's called people-pleasing. Mm-hmm. And as long as they're really happy, then they'll do you a favor, and then you're both happy. That's the ego dance of special relationships. Has anybody been in a special relationship?
No.
Oh, my God. The costs. The promises. And the costs. Oh. So what of this innocence? What of this innocence in this situation where you should have thought about this yesterday? Prepared yourself for this thing that happened today. So that tomorrow won't be as bad as it's going to be because your chance was yesterday to do the thing so you could have the whatever for tomorrow. Oh, you're so screwed. Is that a way to live? That happens all the time, right? You can't avoid it in this life. Surprises come up. Course in Miracles has this wonderful, wonderful little question. It says, well, frankly, with new guy number two, can I ask you a simple question? Don't you answer. Can I ask you a simple question?
Sure.
Would you rather be right or happy?
Right or
It's a simple question. I just want to know the answer.
Happy, if I have to choose one, I suppose.
Okay, all right. That's great. You're going to be okay. You're going to be okay.
I've been right my whole life. I'm totally wrong at the same time.
Yeah. It's actually a monstrous decision. You know, it's really a monstrous decision to actually say, you know what? You know what? Wait. Okay, I'll be happy. Good.
Both. You can have both.
You can, yes.
But it's a judgment if you do that.
But often in this world, and the way that where this sentence is in the special relationship section of the book, in order for you to be right, see, you have to make the one you said I loved you to yesterday wrong. And prove it. And then you get to be right. And how do you know you're right? Because they apologize. They tell you, I'm wrong, you're right, no, I'm small, you're big.
That is a judgment, but you can be right if you're thinking from a mind of truth.
Yes.
You can be right and you can be happy. Being right means you don't engage with that person that is making you feel, or trying to make you feel bad, or you're not connecting with the ego, you're connecting with truth. That's being right.
That's correct. Now, if you're in a holy relationship, which is the next chapter, we learn how to do just that. Yeah. In other words, you're aligned. Aligned means both pieces are moving in the same direction. Malaligned, or in the special relationship, the pieces are moving at slightly odd angles, and so they compete a bit. And that's unfortunate, the small L love relationship, called the special relationship we mostly get. And there's not innocence. In fact, after the first, I don't know, months or years, there becomes a little power struggle in the average relationship between people. That little power struggle, it's quite a bit of competition. And innocence is not quite afforded at times.
When it's expectation.
Yeah. I would think that any holy relationship would go in and out of being holy and special. Mm-hmm. I don't know that any relationship could maintain holy status forever, since we're all so fluid and we're all living in ego.
Yep. Pam?
And I think you're totally right. And I think alongside that, the same sort of idea with right or happy, being in that one or the other, suggests that you're still, like, arguing your point. Mm-hmm.
There's a choice to make.
Wait a minute, but hold on. No, but when I am this and this, and, like, you're still, it's like, so when you, it's like when you forget, that's when you ask that question, mm-hmm. right or happy.
Yep.
You know? As opposed to, would you like to be empty and happy, you know, like, or open and happy at one atonement and happy? That is the congruent question.
Yeah, that's nice, Pam.
And we know when we're being right, because we don't feel good.
Wow.
When we're being right.
Right. Yeah. And then that would suggest there's a wrong.
And then we have to go to our bargain and kind of give it up to get back to being...
Yes. Yes. What of this innocence? Who has the power to call you innocent? How would you know? I mean, how could you feel innocent?
Just without a body?
Yeah, it better be a pretty radical thought. It better be a pretty radical... Because if you're a body, you probably killed something for your last meal. That's right. Now, here in Santa Cruz, that is really serious. I mean, we got to judge you for that, okay? Judge you for that. And unless you drove a completely electric car that was wind-generated source, God, what did you do to the planet in order to drive over here? Did you think about saving? What about our children? So if you're going to be truly innocent through all those, it's going to be a discontinuous thought. Otherwise, I'll get some lawyers in here and we will find you guilty for something. We will find. So welcome to Course in Miracles. Because innocence is an attribute that was given you in your creation that the ego can't afford. Innocence was actually given you in your identity, what you really are. It's an awareness of love's presence, innocence. But it's blocked by living in a body, in time, space, and ego. Yeah, yeah. So even if you got to the place where you, somehow you were exonerated by, I don't know, what authority you could trust to say, you know what, I'm going to add it all up and I'm going to call you innocent. And I want you to believe it. You're free. You're innocent. Wouldn't that be nice? You know, scrub through the whole thing and you get moved to innocence. How would you keep it?
You have to want to keep it. It takes work. You have to want to keep it. Diligence.
Practice, too. Repetition. Awareness of the repetition. Gratitude.
You stay in contact.
You know, you have to, every moment, let go. Let go and let go.
You have to be vulnerable.
Yeah.
You have to let yourself be vulnerable.
Yeah, you cannot hold on to that good feeling. That's part of the letting go, because only in the present moment when you let go and you're uncertain, that's when possibilities can arise.
And it's quite likely you're going to F up, right? So, of course, in miracles we have an F word also. Very applicable. Forgiveness. You need to forgive when you F up.
Fear up.
Fear up. Thank you.
Thank you, Busca.
When you fear up, you gotta forgive.
That's right.
Now, but what is the justification for not following the fear?
I am not a body. I am free, for I am still as God created.
That's a justification. Hello? She on that. Did you hear that? Did you feel that? She's like, hey, let's get this on. Mm-hmm. Let's get this reality on. Let me awaken to this truth. And awaken alive. Awaken alive in this moment to that simple fact of my creation. I am not a body. I am free. For
I am still,
as God created me. Innocent. And live that now and now and now and now. Now, she's on a roll. We're all following in her wake. Meg, show us how. She's got a truth that's printed in this book. It's the most repeated phrase in the entire book. She's got a truth rolling in her mind, and the light has come. The light has come. Lesson 75. Lesson 97. I am spirit. Has come. Right there. When you fear up, thank you, the shadows come. You're staring at the shadows instead of the light. Comes. What does it take to not get sucked down the staircase, Kim? What is it? Not to fall head over heels down that dark staircase. What does it take in that moment when you were free, like she is right now?
You have to forgive yourself.
What does that mean? Quick, anybody?
It means for me now, from my understanding now, what I think that means, you did something to me, but I projected that you did something to me. I first have to forgive you for playing that part in my illusion.
Yes.
Then I have to forgive myself.
Yes.
For having that illusion.
Yep.
And then I have to give it to God and let it go.
Yeah. So it can be replaced. That's mm-hmm. right. Identify it. There's people in prison, you know, done some pretty nasty things. They even say, I did it. I'm sorry I did it. I'm not really sorry either, but I did it. I did it 3 times, and you should keep me in here. Yeah, those people are just like, no remorse and all that. Spend a lot of time in prison, and then they actually want to be free again. And there's really nothing to do on the outside. There's no outside. They discover the inside. Like this woman in Forgiving Dr. Mengele. Mm-hmm. Concentration camps, Nazi survivor, a lot of big guilt going on outside to go around forever. Too much work. Too dark, too heavy. Who would want to live that way another day if they had a choice? Mm-hmm. You have a choice. You study Course in Miracles, that's what we do. We learn about your power of choice. When do you choose? Trick question. When?
Always. Right now. Whenever.
It's in the present now. Moment. You can't actually choose tomorrow. You can't make the choice yesterday. Mm-hmm. So it makes it really simple, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
If there's a choice to be made, like, would you rather be right or happy, and happiness feels better, I mean, I can see that. I can see it wash over space. You know what? I'm going to take this happiness thing.
Yeah.
If that's possible, when is it possible?
No.
Now. No. See? No. It's really simple. How's Meg going to stay in this awareness of being free and remaining as she was created in the factory?
Making that choice.
You bet. Making that choice without it really being a choice, right? Because it's ready for this? Because it's true. Because it's true, you don't have to make the choice. You don't have to prove something that's true.
You know, it's also, it's just, it's truly our natural state, but most of the time we don't believe it.
That's right.
We believe we are something else.
Like a bad habit.
Yes.
Like a bad habit.
Yeah. I think when I drove out of Sedona, I really got that we are naturally, we always were and we always will be love. And that it was the belief in that, finally, for me, I think, that got it. I didn't believe it before, and I had to have that ingrained in me somehow, and that's what I got, is I am that. You know, so I could choose to believe the other if I wanted.
Did you hear what she just said? Mm-hmm. She just said, that's what I got. I am that. That's not belief. That's not hope. That moment, you afforded a quality for yourself to be true. Based on all the things you've been through, a lot of light's been shining on your corner of the world these last couple of years, burning away some of those shadows. You took some easy breaths in that light. I've watched it.
Mm-hmm.
And in that car ride, that light, you took another easy breath. And you said, you know what? This is love driving this car. Mm-hmm. Has been all along. I wasn't looking at it. Has been. It's true.
Mm-hmm.
That is an elevation in consciousness. It is a type of spiritual awakening. We have them all the time. Spiritual awakenings are not really special. They're not really, you know, ordained. You can only get it if you got the holy water sprinkled at just the right time. The spiritual awakenings happen all the time to a greater or less degree. Because of what you are and where you're going and the insatiable appetite you have for peace and truth and love. According to this book, teach only love. Why?
For that is what you are.
Turns out it's got a quick, pithy definition of what you really are. So following that pull, and all of us are, whether it's Course in Miracles or any 1,000 other paths on this planet, you will have spiritual awakenings. You will have spiritual awakenings constantly. I think this is a way to race into them with the workbook lessons. That's faith. Yes.
In line of what Meg shared, which was really brilliant, the phrase that really empowered me was, those who see themselves whole make no demands. So it just, it was like a holy instant every time I said that, because then I'm being, right?
Yes.
The other piece is that, you know, it's the realization that God has already given me everything that He can give you, and there's nothing else that He can. You know, because the one gift that He's giving you is everything that God is. Mm-hmm. And so that's really, I can embody that a lot more than I did a year ago. But that was like, it was unimaginable for me to really get that truth, even though intuitively it really resonated. It felt good. Mm-hmm. And yet, because I have this, my mind, you know, it's always that split mind, very difficult to make that transition. And I think it's a transition that I have to make all the time, as long as I live.
As long as you're walking around in a body, trying to practice not being a body. What? How does that even work?
The other piece too, it takes out that whole, the whole conversation about, oh my God, I'm not enough, I lack, which is so insane. And this is how I used to live my life. Like, oh, I'm not number one this month in my sales team. What am I lacking? And how do I fulfill that? It's just constant competition and this kind of a forced will. And it was always intense, because it was always about me, how I need to make this happen. And the idea that to let go for peace was like so unreasonable and illogical.
I love that, what you just said a minute ago about what more could God give you, for crying out loud. What, you think He left something behind? You think He left something out? It's so great. I love that. That's
cool. You know, okay. Andrew, yes. This whole conversation we're doing, this thing happened to me this weekend.
Really?
Yeah. Right, but he remembers. I had an argument with my girlfriend, right? Mm-hmm. We're over all together, and she got something really dumb. So she was getting mad, and just on and on at me all the time. And finally, you know, at some point, I can only go so far, right? But I did the same thing. I said, the answer, when I looked at my phone, there's the answer. You know, it's crash. You know, see, all the stuff Kim was talking about, a whole thing, and I'm getting this huge argument, and then it gets, finally, it's okay, we're leaving. And then fine, we'll go. So we left. Down, get back, drop her off, you know, and just like, and then we got caught in a travel jam. No. We got someone hacking at me, you know, and I jump start up, you know. And finally, I just, you know, you're going through this stuff, finally I shut up.
Okay.
And just went there, and then I did the whole thing where I just looked to myself, to get myself to calm down, I said, I forgive you, just constantly. And then when I got that point, I go, well, this is a cool opportunity. Like you were telling me before, I go, how? I mean, it's not happening. How can I deal with it? How can I just put that thing out there and forgot about it? And then I've been getting an answer to that. I was getting all this stuff from another book I was reading, and then just tonight I got the answer right out of the book on a page, and then we've been talking about everything from that point on. It's like this whole thing. It's like a cool experience from it.
Yeah.
It was pretty wicked.
What is, you know, a miracle is... what is a miracle?
Shift perception.
Where something you're perceiving, the way you were perceiving it, gets shifted. Same thing now. Same argument, same problem, same people, but you changed. You've shifted your perception about the thing. Now, you shift it from what to what? Anybody? There's 50 answers. There's actually more.
From illusion to truth.
From illusion to truth. What else? Mm-hmm. What is it? What kind of? What's the quality of a miracle, Barbara? What happens? What's happening? What kind of shift in perception are we talking about here?
From fear to love.
From fear to love. What else?
Compassion.
Yeah. From judgment, you're wrong to, wait a minute, let me see what you're thinking. Compassion. Yeah, that's a shift. It's a shift to compassion, where otherwise you were about to condemn or even punish. You somehow shifted over the same situation to compassion, and you might actually turn to help. That's a miracle. You got it.
How about separation and oneness?
Yeah! Separating in unity. What other... Well, we can go on all night. We should be able to go on all night. One day we will. It'll be a fun challenge.
From right to happy.
Yeah, from right in the eyes of the law and populace to just happy.
Honey,
how can we just be happy while we're dealing with this big problem? How can we be happy and make this work out? It's so much better way to live. And we can go to the metaphysical too. You know, if you want to go that far, just for the new people in the room. Actually, it might make you go, run out the door. So, Masako, lock it. All right, Barbara's one of us. Let's look at Miracle Principle 17. Look at the other. Now we have all these nice, simple things. Miracle. What about how far does A Course in Miracles go with freeing your mind? Look at Miracle Principle 17. First person to get there, read it.
Miracles transcend the body. Go ahead.
Invisibility away from the bodily level. That is why they heal.
Miracles transcend the body. It's on page 4.
I'm not a body.
Which is about 25 pages in because of all the preface and everything else. There are so many pages in this book. How do we ever get on that? Miracle Principle 17. Miracles transcend the body. They are sudden shifts into invisibility. What? Invisibility. Talk about a shift in perception. Your eyes have been lying to you. And your mind has been providing your eyes, actually, with what they see. No, Andrew, you got this all backwards. Don't you know that seeing is believing? Not in A Course in Miracles. Believing is seeing. Because really, what you think about it, that's the meaning it has. What you think about it, that's the meaning it has for you. That's lesson number 2, right? That's how crazy and how far this book will carry you in your shifting of perception. Even away from the nasty reminders that your eyes will continue to give you, even as you awaken. Okay, one more little visit before we get into tonight's reading. Let's flip over. It's like page 400 and roughly 450. It is page 445.
445,
please, in the text. The book had the book page number start over 3-4 times, so the first time.
Don't let that confuse you.
Don't let it confuse you. Oh, but we have to read this paragraph now, this first paragraph.
new guy? What's your name?
Billy.
Billy. Billy, would you read for us paragraph 1 on page 445?
Paragraph 1?
Yes.
That looks like 445. What? Actually, I'm going to grasp the final stages of maybe I would read both of the classes. Projection makes perception. The world you see is what you gave it. Nothing more than that. But though it is no more than that, it is no less. Therefore, to you it is important. It is the witness to your state of mind, the outside picture of an inward condition. As a man thinketh, so does he perceive it. Therefore, seek not to change the world, but choose to change your mind about the world. Perception is a result and not a cause. And that is why order of difficulty and miracles is meaningless. Everything looked upon with vision is healed and holy. Nothing perceived without it means anything. And where there is no meaning, there is chaos.
Whoa. Sentence 10. Everything looked upon with vision is healed and holy. In tonight's section, we are studying healing and faith. Everything looked on with vision is healed and holy. A Course in Miracles uses this word vision very particularly. It does not mean your eyeballs. When it says vision, it means your mind. It's your shifted perception. We have wrong perception. We have right perception, but it's still perception. And then we have vision. We have this healed perception, this whole perception. It's wrong-minded, going to right-minded, but still dealing with not being wrong-minded. And finally, you are delivered to one-mindedness. That's our journey. The one-minded says happiness beats being right every single time. Why? I like being happy. And being right is a short-term buzz. But when I'm happy, most likely you'll be happy too. And then we're happy together. And then I get happier when you're happy. And then you're happy because I'm happy. And I'm even happier because you're happy. Then I'm happy that you're happy. Then I'm happy. Oh my God. That's a holy relationship. That's how it works. Turns out. And then you might come around and say, this has happened to me. You know what, Andrew? Really, you're right. No, it's fine. I don't need to be right. No, really. Now I thought about it. Because the pressure's off, you know. We get so defensive when we're in competition. Mm-hmm. So you really can be both. Yeah. Great paragraph, huh? Mm-hmm. Projection makes perception. Three short words, an entire sentence, and an entire teaching, and an entire philosophy, and the ego is busted. In just three words. Projection. What does Course in Miracles mean by projection?
It's a false story.
Your sight, your illusion.
Putting
it
out there.
Your
putting yourself and your idea out into the world.
That's it.
Another.
That's right. Your illusion being used to empower your sight, which is a whole bunch of your stinking thinking that you are painting on the world and then judging it. That's projection. Turns out, the problem with that is that now that, with this projection, means it's out there.
I can't do anything about it if it's out there.
It's not my fault.
It's right, and now it can come back around and get you. Because it's out there coming back home with bad news. You lost the whole idea that it came from you. That got somehow separated. Keyword. Projection makes perception. Perception is another, you know, the course is really tough on these things we take for so granted. What does it take to perceive something? You have to see it, and you have to decide what it is, what meaning it has. And in the world of wrong-mindedness, it's loaded with the past, and you probably aren't even, lesson number what? Six, I don't know. I see nothing as it is now. That's a whole lesson for the entire day. It's all you do is run that through your head. I see nothing as it is now. Just busting you on how your perception colors and steals your life, which you can only live right now. Okay? Taking some responsibility yet for your own happiness? What, you want more? All right. But just one more, and then we have to get to our reading. Just a little mind bender, okay? Just because it's fun, really.
Only one in the book?
Yeah.
Only mind bender.
Look at Miracle Principle 13. Just because we talked about this so much tonight, I want to visit it.
Miracles are both beginnings and endings. And so they alter the temporal order. They are always affirmations of rebirth, which seem to go back, but really go forward. They undo the past and the present, and thus release the future.
Complete teaching on time, right there. Can we have that again, please, Pam?
Miracles are both beginnings and endings, and so they alter the temporal order. They are always affirmations of rebirth, which seem to go back, but really go forward. They undo the past and the present, and thus release the future.
Nice. And then you're innocent again. And then you're innocent. Okay, let's go to page 400, please, in the text. Chapter 19, and we're digging in on paragraph 11. Stefan, whenever you're ready.
Faith is a gift of God through him whom God has given you.
Now, wait a minute. Could you start over in those first four words?
Faith is the gift.
The gift. It really isn't a gift. A gift could be one of many. Damnedest thing about this book, and I'll tell you, you know, and I you can really take it to task on the words. If you're an analytical kind of guy, you know, if you're a linguistic prescriptivist, and you want to really press it through the filters of properly diction, you You can. That's some of the respect that I got for the author. Is, you know, you try to bust this thing, and yet the message is so consistent. I mean, if you read that literally, those first four words, a versus the gift, that's a big difference, my friend. Have we come down to the one gift? Is it just printed there in black and white? Or is that a typo, maybe? And give God, God gives you all sorts of things. Well, let me decode it just the one step further. That word faith, which is, by the way, a big part of our discussion, this entire section, faith and healing. So we hit word faith a lot. Faith, what's another, we've been through this so many times, right? What is another word for faith?
Trust.
Bingo! He wasn't even here for those discussions, most of them. Yes, it absolutely is. Faith is you're actually walking in the belief you had yesterday that was a concept last week, where it was really pretty whimsical last week. You know, you heard somebody else told you something. You read it for the first time. It was just a concept rooted into a belief that you liked and maybe worked and rehearsed and wrote on the bathroom mirror in lipstick. Became...
You did that?
No, I was going to... Then you run out of lipstick, then what do you do? Highlighter. Highlight. What is it? Highlighter. Yeah, you can write fire with that, right? You can get more into it. Because it moves from belief that you love. You know, you tell your friends all about it, and you're able to rehearse it and everything really good. But it moves to another level. Like Kim when she was driving her car saying, oh yeah, wait a minute, this is not only true, it was always true. That's when it hits a level in your gut. That truth has that ability to be so obvious at that moment. When, who said it? Unreachable before. Hopelessly unreachable before. Now trust has arrived, and you actually are walking the walk. It's like a level of commitment you weren't willing to do before because you didn't trust it. This is what faith is. Trust. Manual for Teachers, back of the book. It starts out discussing the development of trust. And that all the attributes of teacher of God, somebody who's really got it going on, is actually going toward honesty and trust and tolerance and gentleness and joy and patience and open-mindedness and faithfulness and generosity and, you know, gratitude. When that's happening with you, it's because of that one word, trust. Has empowered you. You're not afraid, see? Because you're trusting. That's the difference between belief and faith, belief and trust, is that the fear element is gone. You can actually go ahead. You've checked, you quit rock climber? You're doing rock climbing?
Scrambling, not with ropes.
All right. You ever fix your own brakes?
No.
I don't know you well enough. But there comes a point when you're doing something and you decide to trust it. You go ahead and put your life on it. I don't do it until I've actually checked the lug nuts. You know, they're tight. And I take my wheel off. I go a second time around. Okay, they're good. And then I get in and go. And you know what? The fear's gone at that point. That's why I do it. That's why I go. That's why I go. That's why I'm in faith and trust and moving ahead with it now. Now, for my life is modified by that thought. Key now. How's Meg going to stay in the bliss awakening that she has, the owning she's owning?
You're focused. You're focused on what you know to be the truth.
Yes.
And you don't waver from that.
Yes, yes, yes! You don't waver from it. Not because it's the right thing to do. You don't waver from this awakening. Okay, it's what it is. It's a spiritual awakening. A little, maybe not the big kaboom, all right? But it's one of the steps that has brought you more happiness and peace in your life. Keep it, right? Not because it's the right thing to do, not because it's printed in the book, but because it's true. This is the best reason of all. It's the only reason that lasts. If you're trying just to please Him, how long will that last? And when He's not around, are you willing to hold it up still, even though He's not watching anymore? Maybe not. But when you see, like Kim did in her gut, driving her car in the desert, when it's true, there's a shift in perception about your own identity that will always go with you. That's what I like to describe it as a staircase. Taking a step, pressing on each step, and then you stand a little higher. And everything's different. One step up, two steps up, 10 steps up. Good. Faith, turns out, is very, very practical and a huge part of any spiritual journey. A huge part of any miracle working, as the book uses the word miracle, has to be you actually now living that way with forgiveness, undoing all of the crap thoughts that would reverse your peaceful thinking. So, please start over now with that introduction to those four words.
Faith is the gift of God through Him whom God has given you. Faithlessness looks upon the Son of God and judges Him unworthy of forgiveness. But through the eyes of faith, the Son of God is seen already forgiven, free of all the guilt He laid upon Himself.
What does it mean to be free of all the guilt?
Innocent.
Thank you very much. She's on it. Please continue.
Faith sees Him only now, because it looks not to the past to judge Him, but would see in Him only what it would see in you. It sees not through the body's eyes, nor looks to bodies for its justification. It is the messenger of the new perception, sent forth to gather witnesses unto its coming, and to return their messages to you.
We're going to return to that theme at another time. This last sentence, where it talks about the messengers of the new perception, sent forth to gather witnesses unto its coming, and to return their messages to you. We talked about perception a moment ago. New guy number one beautifully said, it's all you putting you out there. Yes. With wrong-minded, it's putting a judgment out there, giving it power to come back and get you. With right-minded, it's actually you, right or wrong, good or bad, you're witnessing what you believe. That's right-minded thinking. It's still not necessarily happy or peaceful, but it's responsible, and you're no longer a victim. What?
You get to make a choice.
You get to make a choice.
Of love or fear in that moment.
That's it, and you'll get what you choose now. Mm-hmm. You see now that you get what you choose. I'm free. That's freedom. It's not necessarily liberation. You're not necessarily laughing and smiling all the time, but at least you're not blaming somebody else. At least you feel empowered. Mm-hmm. Welcome to A Course in Miracles. We want to get you there. But that's not all, folks. There's more.
Faith. Ready?
Are we ready?
Yeah.
Of course, Micheline's like, I gotta get off this damn page. Been coming here for 3 weeks on the same page. I expect some progress. Please. God. She came in once. She was off for 3 or 4 weeks out in Minnesota. She comes back. And we, page 392. No, this page again. That's what she said. Alright.
Faith is as easily exchanged for knowledge as is the real world. I'm just taking that in.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
Faith is as easily exchanged for knowledge as is the real world. Oh, okay. So there's the choice right there. Mm-hmm. For faith arises from the Holy Spirit's perception and is the sign you share it with Him. Faith is a gift you offer to the Son of God through Him, and wholly acceptable to His Father as to Him, and therefore offered you. Your holy relationship with its new purpose offers you faith to give unto your brother. Your faithfulness has driven you and Him.
Yeah, actually, yeah, you gotta watch that word.
Faithless.
Yeah, I need my glasses there. Your faithlessness has driven you and Him apart, and so you do not recognize salvation in Him. Yet faith unites you in the holiness you see, not through the body's eyes, but in the sight of Him who joined you, and in whom you are united.
Faith is as easily exchanged, so says the author of this book, for knowledge, well, as is the real world. Exchange for knowledge. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a couple of words being redefined here. Course in Miracles doesn't use them all just like in the dictionary. Okay. So we've talked about concept, then it gets belief, and then it gets up to faith and trust. And then after you actually do it, you actually drive on the car, all the lug nuts are staying, you get out of the car, they're still tight, looks like we're good to go. You no longer need faith. Something's happened, right? You've actually driven it and tried it and used the brakes and everything. It's all good. In fact, it's good. They're all still tight. What do you have now?
Knowledge. Trust.
You've used trust. Trust is now paid off. Do you need trust anymore when you know?
No.
You don't need trust anymore. It's changed. Yet another level is achieved. Trust, now, is knowledge. It's so different than trust and faith, isn't it? You know, you're going to take a drive, and I had borrowed your car, and I brought it back, and you don't know how much gas is in the tank. Every time I borrowed it before, I brought it back full, or at least close to full. I've been pretty good. But now it really counts, because you're going to go do a job interview and there is no time to get gas. And if you need to get gas, you better get going earlier, because you got to get this job interview on time. What if there's traffic? The fish hook, have you seen it lately? Oh. So you don't know if there's gas in the tank. But you really don't have time to go to the gas station. After all, I've been pretty good to you, haven't I, in the past? I've filled it up every time. But you don't know. So you've got to believe that I did it, because I haven't done it before. You've decided now, I'm just going to go ahead and do all my stuff, and I'm just going to trust that Andrew put gas in the tank and I can drive straight. I'm just going to do it, right? You're a little uneasy, a little bit just a touch, because it's so important, this job interview. You're late, you're not going to give you the job. So that's faith, that's trust, but you don't know. All right, you run out in your socking feet, into the garage, open the door, turn, and look at how much gas is in the tank. Bing. F full. It's full. What happens? What's different between faith? See? It's so different. What?
Now you know.
Now you know there's a quality of knowing that is very peaceful. It's the kind of thing that marketers hope when they give you something for free. Try before you buy. I'll give you one for free. You see if it works for you. And then you can commit with knowledge. It's really easy. When you know it will fit or it works or you like it. Much of that transition is what we are doing with miracles. Is that you would actually try happy instead of being right every single time. See, because what happens is when you're used to being so right, you're going to make sure you're still right, even when you're not quite sure you're right. Look, I'm the one who's right around here. So what I say goes. And I will have to prove to you I'm right yet again. It can cause a lot of difficulties in life. When you find out that happiness trumps right, you might start with happiness, right or wrong. This is what we learn in chapter 16, page 365, setting the goal. We spent weeks on that page because it's so important. A Course in Miracles reverses the whole approach to life. When it says, instead of you going through all those things, adding it up at the end of the situation and finding out if you should be happy about it, A Course in Miracles says, whoa, how about starting with the goal in mind? And manage through knowing that that's going to be your goal no matter what happens. How about that? It's the key to a holy relationship. The other way is victimhood. Even if it's good, you're waiting for the outcome, You're waiting to find out whether you're happy? That's victimhood, good or bad. But if you choose ahead of time, based on the empowerment that you can prove to yourself you have, why wouldn't you always choose happiness first? Good. Okay, so faith is as easily exchanged for knowledge in the things that we talk about as is the real world. We're not going to go there right now, but pop quiz, what's the real world in A Course in Miracles?
Creation.
Isn't that wild? I mean, you really, it takes years of studying the book before it even matters what the real world is. Remember what the real world is? Do you remember what the real world is in this book?
Is it Revelation? The heaven. Oneness.
That sounds nice, but it's a little...
It's the opposite of illusion, so it's got to be truth.
It's the truth about the world you see with your eyes, but seen with your mind. You see the illusion for the illusion. That's what it calls the real world. You see, the false world is what you think is real. The real world is seeing the false. But in order to get there, you're going to need a miracle.
Just one?
You know, it's that easy. Yeah. Take all you need. Take all you need, John Paul. Yeah, we'll get there later. We'll get there later. It is one of those other mind-bending things, but there's a huge amount of freedom waiting for you. Because trying to make the false world work out as though it were true, trying to make false love behave like real love is really chaotic. Try as hard as you may. So we'll get there. It's not tonight. That's not our discussion tonight. But it is a big part of what this book has to, you know, it's one of the gifts. Everything gets simpler, you know? But that's one of them. Big. But we'll get there later. All right, now. For faith arises from the capital H, capital S. Holy Spirit's perception. Faith arises from the Holy Spirit's perception and is the sign you share this perception with the Holy Spirit when your faith arises. And faith is trust, remember? Faith is that movement. You're actually going to move. You're going to go instead of worry. It's a state of mind that's much more comfortable than fear. Okay? Versus faithlessness, right? Okay, we'll get there. Mm-hmm. Faith is a gift. You, small Y-O-U, not capital Y-O-U, small you, little old you, faith is a gift you offer to the capital S, Son of God. Who's the Son of God? Anybody?
Somebody point to you.
Absolutely.
The Sonship.
The Sonship is completely represented the by oneness. Me. Mm-hmm. By you. It's not completely represented by any one of us. That's separation and fragmentation. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about that too another night. But isn't this a beautiful sentence? You have a job description. Faith is a gift you offer to the capital S, Son of God, through the Holy Spirit, through Him, and wholly acceptable to His Father as to Him. And therefore, offered you. Do you see the circle yet again? Do you see the circle yet again? I'll read it faster so you can see the circle. Faith arises from the Holy Spirit's perception and is a sign you share it with Him. There's a circle. Faith is a gift, okay? A gift means that it's a given. You offer to the Son of God through the Holy, around the circle, through the Holy Spirit, that's to Him,
and wholly acceptable to his Father as to him, and therefore offered to
you.
The circle's complete.
It's infinity.
Again and again. So why does A Course in Miracles keep talking about these circles that I keep pointing out? What am I pointing at each time? What ultimate teaching of A Course in Miracles, if you get nothing else? If you, what?
You we're all connected.
Giving and receiving are one.
Hello? I'm embarrassed for the rest of you people. This guy just showed up.
I heard a judgment in there.
We say this every single week. Thank you, new guy. Our teacher has arrived. That's right. It's what is this he's talking about? What is this? What do we rehearse again and again as a law?
As you give, you receive.
Yes, mm-hmm. Thank you. Mm-hmm. As you give, here comes the circle again. As you give, you receive as you give. For example, you want to be peaceful? You want to be calm? You want to calm down? Chill out a little bit? Try patience. Honestly.
That's my favorite quote.
Mm. Page 88.
Patience is natural to those who trust.
Oh, that's page 11 in The Man of the Teacher. Mm. Yes. Mm. That's right. Mm. That's right.
And if you're struggling with patience, that's the flag.
Mm. Beautifully said. For those who trust. And actually, if you want to know the exact word, patience can only be afforded by those who trust, is how it's worded. If you trust, then of course you can be patient. But it's a circle, isn't it? Don't you have to sort of volunteer to be patient? And then when you really are, you calm down. Billy, I'll wait as long as you need. Tell you what, why don't you just send me a text when you think it might be about time, and then to follow up when it is time. Whatever works for you will work for me. Take your time. This is all up to you. I'm good. I'm relaxed. I'm like, I'm going to forget about it until he tells me it's time to go again. Patient, totally. It's loving. It's easy. It's also a circle. You see, I am getting the benefit of the patience. I don't know what's happening to him. You may feel pressure because I asked him to text. I don't know. But I'm feeling chill. And this is what A Course in Miracles calls the law of love. As you give, you receive. It's also the same thing. It's a law of mind. It's a law of mind because, you know, that's how it works. I've spoken a truth tonight. Sometimes people ask me, what's the truth? You know, Billy, can you just tell me something that's true? What's the truth? You know, we can philosophize on and over and under and again, trying to figure out to say something that's true. But when we say, as you give, you receive, and it applies to love, and it applies to fear equally. Mm-hmm. You give out anger, you get anger. You give out fear, before it's even out of your mouth, you're afraid. And you're proving it to yourself.
What we're talking about right now is the peace that this book offers in our everyday living, where other spiritual teachings really doesn't focus in, and it keeps me bringing, and I keep coming home to this, because, you know, there's really no world out there. It just is. And so all the stories, my beliefs, my interpretation, it really is a projection. It's a virtual world. And to be able to, in the holy instant, to let go and let God, it's incomprehensible. And I do it. We all do it from time to time.
Yeah.
So it's that oneness. I'm not loving you over there. I'm really loving myself. And in that, something happens, I don't know what, but I free you up in the process. Well, it's because there's no world out there but mine. Yeah. So when I return to love, when I am able to bring that love to myself through the Holy Spirit, then in my liberation and my freedom, that's all that matters. And I think somebody maybe over here said a little while ago that when I'm when I feel whole and complete, that, you know, what you do out there really doesn't affect me. Because it's all my perception anyway. But it's, I love this book because of that extending. It's all you and your capacity to love yourself. It automatically liberates everything else around you.
You see the confidence in her voice? She's actually aware of this truth. Mm-hmm. And it's now, with eyes open, it's showing itself to be true. And you know, it was actually really hard to prove that somebody else was at fault or somebody else came in and gave you that thought or changed your mind. You can't have ever proved that then, and you can't prove it now. But you can prove, very quickly, your peace in your thoughts. What did you have to do with what you just thought? That's easy to prove. Let's all do a quick journey into the workbook based on Masako's comment. Check this out. Flip over to the back of the book now. There's about, looks like a half an inch left to page 291 in the workbook. 291 in the workbook. And, you know, Masako has been on a journey with this reconciling, you know, she's a hot one a bit, Masako.
She's a little diminutive in size, but look out for the power.
And she's been able to make her own life miserable at times with how much power she has. She's a quick thinker, sharp tongue, but oh my God, she just wants the truth, really. She wants the truth. And so she has had to make shifts, yes, in perception enough. She's also had to make shifts in how she lives and what she follows. And then, after shifting and what she was following, she got to sample it. Maybe she keep it, maybe she wouldn't. But she had the guts to step back. To step back and try it. Faith requires that. Faith requires you don't do what you've always done before. That you know. You know the old way. You know the old way. Let's read this. Let's read through this. Who's up? David?
I will step back and let him lead the way. There is a way of living in the world that is not here, although it seems to be. You do not change appearance, though you smile more frequently. Your forehead is serene, your eyes are quiet, and the ones who walk the world as you do recognize their own. Yet those who have not yet perceived the way will recognize you also and believe that you are like them as you were before. The world is an illusion.
And let's go to the next reader. Although you're doing a great job. Kim?
The world is an illusion.
Black and white. Black and white. The world is an illusion.
Those who choose to come to it are seeking for a place where they can be illusions and avoid their own reality. Yet when they find their own reality is even here,
aha!
Then they step back and let it lead the way. Whatever choice is really theirs to make. To let illusions walk ahead of truth is madness. But to let illusions sink behind the truth and let the truth stand forth as what it is merely sanity.
That's what a miracle is. Illusion's backseat, truth frontseat. Let's continue.
This is the simple choice we make today. The mad illusion will remain a while in evidence for those who look upon who choose to come and have not yet rejoiced to find they were mistaken in their choice. They cannot learn directly from the truth because they have denied that it is so, and so they need a teacher who perceives their madness, but who can still look beyond illusion to the simple truth in them.
In them.
Innocence.
Yeah, innocence. See the innocence.
In them.
In them. Who is that? For the new people, who is that teacher who, with capital letters? Teacher who perceives their madness. That's your stinking thinking. Yeah. Who?
The Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit in this book is not like, you know, something out there. I learned in my Catholic training. Oh my God, it's part of your mind still connected to the truth. It's good news. You're connected. Still full access in your own mind. Perceives your darkest, deepest thoughts. Isn't that great? Perceive, and it says madness. You see that sentence there, for? Mm-hmm. They need a teacher who perceives their madness, but who still can look beyond illusion to the simple truth in them. Oh, see, that's going from wrong-minded to right-minded, and eventually, when you release all your stinking thinking, to one-minded. And then it's all fun.
It's love in its purest sense.
Yes. Capital now. Capital now. Let's continue. Barbara? I'm showing off. I got her name cold.
If truth demanded they give up the world, it would appear to them as if it asks the sacrifice of something that is real. Many have chosen to renounce the world while still believing its reality, and they have suffered from a sense of loss and have not been released accordingly. Others have chosen nothing but the world, and they have suffered from a sense of loss still deeper, which they did not understand.
This paragraph explains some of the frustration we have as we try to be spiritual, we try to be happy, when we'd really rather just be right and have it be proven, and I win. What's missing is what we'll get to, which is this trust, this faith on the truth now. Things that you would trust those things because they're true, not because they're right. Because they're true, it has so much more value and standing power. When you understand, key word, understand the truth. We're all here for that. Do you know Course in Miracles says that? Course in Miracles says, this is a quote, it says, this world is not left by death, but by understanding. That's how you leave this world. If that's important to you.
This also helps you to understand the deep sense of suffering and loss that so many people are in, not just us, but out in the whole world, so you can look at them differently when they're, you know, being jerks and, behaving badly. And
now you can use Billy's word. I'm showing off again. Compassion. You could be compassionate where before you would have been judgmental, harsh, and even punishing that those jerks behave that way. You know what? Because of that paragraph, you know, you get this, your heavy-duty dedication and devotion to something that you don't fully understand. You don't really own the trust in it. You're just trying to be spiritual. This is spiritual ego. Is chaotic. It leads to chaos. Another example of that in special relationships is people pleasing. I'm just going to do this to make you happy, but I really don't want to. That can come around. But when you understand what I'm just trying, you can have compassion for me. Even though I'm going to blow up in your face tomorrow for something I just did trying to be nice to you, I'm going to take it back tomorrow. But if you have the understanding Kim is talking about, there's love there, there's compassion available. Mm-hmm. Much better way to live. Let's continue. Misako?
Oh, I pass.
Okay.
Oh.
Paragraph 5.
Okay. Between these paths, there is another road that leads away from loss of every kind. Mm. For sacrifice and deprivation both are quickly left behind. This is the way appointed for you now. You walk this path as others walk, nor do you seem to be distinct from them, although you are indeed. Thus can you serve them, while you serve yourself and set their footsteps on the way that God has opened up to you and them through you.
I just love that paragraph. Mm-hmm. It's so beautiful. Wow. So beautiful. Let's continue.
Illusion still appears to cling to you.
You got still that happening. It's still happening. Life is still happening. Illusions appear to cling to you. But I am dedicated to follow God, and yet this happens to me? Why does such horrible things happen to such nice people? You complain. Please start again and continue.
Illusion still appears to cling to you, that you may reach them. Yet it has stepped back, and it is not illusion that they hear you speak of, nor illusion that you bring their eyes to look on and their minds to grasp.
And you would read that. It's not illusion that they hear you speak of. You used to commiserate with your friend in the hospital and feel their pain with them. That was compassion. It was so nice of you to explain, oh, I understand what you're going through. Oh, you should have seen when I had it, how bad it got. You're lucky it's not that bad yet. And that's nice? Yeah, I would not speak of such illusions. It would be so much better to be present and free and present. It's such a different way to live. Please continue.
Nor can the truth which walks ahead of you speak to them through illusions, for the road leads past illusions now, while on the way you call to them, and they may follow you.
And would you please read that sentence over again, 4? And while she's doing it, everybody, I want you to see the circle yet again. Please continue. Please go ahead.
Nor can the truth which walks ahead of you speak to them through illusions, for the road leads past illusions now, while on the way you call to them that they may follow you.
There's a circle yet again. Yeah, let's continue. Go home.
All roads will lead to this one in the end. For sacrifice and deprivation are paths that lead nowhere. Choices for defeat are names that will remain impossible. All this steps back as truth comes forth in you to lead your brothers from the ways of death and set them on the way to happiness. Their suffering is but illusion, yet they need a guide to lead them out of it, for they mistake illusion for truth.
Such is salvation's call, and nothing more. It asks that you accept the truth and let it go before you, lighting up the path of ransom from illusion. It is not a ransom with a price. There is no cost, but only gain. Illusion can but seem to hold in chains the Holy Son of God. It is but from illusions he is saved. As they step back, he finds himself again.
Woo!
as the illusions step back, as the illusions are released from your mind, you're not focusing on the illusions, which might be sickness, which might be fairness, you know, all these different flavors of the ego. If you let those out of the way, just get present. Like the compassion that we're talking about here. Isn't it so much nicer to be with somebody who doesn't hold grudges? Who lets the my mistakes go? Let your mistakes go? He says, you want to try again? Let's try again. That's okay with me. I like the people that are willing to... I just want to try again now. Mm-hmm. Now that we sort of have... Yeah! Yeah, let's just continue. I'm going to take you on our journey.
Walk safely now, yet carefully, because this path is new to you. You may find that you are tempted still to walk ahead of truth and let illusions be your guide. Holy brothers have been given you to follow in your footsteps as you walk through certainty of purpose to the truth. Goes before you now that they may see something with which they can identify, something they understand to lead the way.
Mm-hmm. Yet, at journey's end, there will be no gap, no distance between truth and you, and all illusions walking in the way you travel will be gone from you as well, with nothing left to keep the truth apart from God's completion, holy as himself. Step back in faith and let truth lead the way. You know not where you go, but one who knows goes with you. Let him lead you with the rest.
All right, we got to take this diversion. It's just so critical at this point. Okay, what are we talking about in these beautiful paragraphs right here? Walking. You're safely now, that your mind now is at peace as you choose to be peaceful instead of angry. Why? Because of this trust in the bigger picture, the Holy Spirit. You're listening now instead of to the unholy spirit. You've learned, as if maybe a habit even, to just trust being patient and being compassionate. How does that happen? What are we talking about here? That your mind is so changed, that your life is so shifted. It's really Miracle Principle 7 has occurred through all of your work, Masako. Through all of your sweat and doubts and efforts and try it for you. And then you like it. And then you repeat. And then you teach it. Through what happens after that is Miracle Principle 7. First person to get there, read it for us.
Miracles are everyone's right. But purification is necessary first.
That's what is happening. Miracles, yes. A shift in perception from darkness to light, from, you know, doubt to trust, from body to spirit. All of that is your right to have your mind freed just with a thought of your own that feels and you know it's right. All, that's all you're right. Yes. But purification is necessary first. It's the fine print, of Course in Miracles. But it's, you know, it's just being honest. You're not being didactic or anything, you know, or it's just being honest. It says, you know what? You can't have happiness unless you can afford it. That's why it seems to whisk away at times. Because you haven't quite got to the point where you really believe you can afford to just be happy. Shouldn't you be angry about this? That was unfair. Shouldn't you be doubting? Because you know what they do? They steal. On and on and on and on. That's the world. And it will continue to do its thing. Because your mind is not yet purified toward truth. Innocence has not arrived for anybody.
as long as you're playing by the rules of the world. So that in place, how far are we into this book? Now that's over 1,000 pages into the book. These beautiful paragraphs roll, and you could step back and let a part of your mind lead the way, because you can afford it. Part of your mind's purified now. Enough little awakenings have happened. You can actually trust these things and hear them and move through your life without attack, without fear, even in situations that otherwise would call for attack and fear. That's what we do. Welcome to A Course in Miracles. That's what we do. Let's continue. I won't interrupt. Oh, is it my turn? Who's your turn? Okay, where am I? 11?
11.
Okay, great. This is good. When dreams are over, hello, that's the real world, okay? No longer faking it out. When dreams are over, time has closed the door and all the things that pass, and miracles are purposeless. The Holy Son of God will make no journeys. There'll be no wish to be illusion rather than the truth. And when we step forth toward this, as we progress along the way that truth points out to us, this is our final journey, which we make for everyone. We must not lose our way, for as truth goes before us, so it goes before our brothers who will follow us.
We walk to God, pause and reflect on this. Could any way be holier or more deserving of your effort, of your love, and of your full intent? What way could give you more than everything, or offer less and still content? The Holy Son of God. We walk to God. The truth that walks before us now is one with Him and leads us to where He has always been. What way but this could be a path that He would choose instead?
Your feet are safely set upon the road that leads the world to God. Look not to ways that seem to lead you elsewhere. Dreams are not a worthy guide for you who are God's son. Forget not He has placed His hand in yours and given you your brothers in His trust, that you are worthy of His trust in you. He cannot be deceived. His trust has made your pathway certain and your goal secure. You will not fail your brothers nor yourself.
And now He asks but that you think of Him a while each day, that He may speak to you and tell you of His love, reminding you how great His trust, how limitless His love. In your name and His own, which are the same, we practice gladly with this thought today. I will step back and let Him lead the way, for I would walk along the road to Him.
Beautiful, beautiful. Mm-hmm. All right, let's have a circle.
Okay.
Yes. Okay.
Come on, girl. Come on, girlie. Take a deep breath. Okay, it's truth time. It's real simple. It's binary. It's like a coin. You know, it's one side or the other. What we're talking about is what's true. You know what's really true? Forget the details. Big picture now. What's really true? Are you innocent? Or are you guilty?
is the truth that Meg spoke true. Therefore, you are innocent as you remain as God created you. God, by the way, is love. The power that is love is God. God just means the truth of what is, see? That includes everything. Both the tree and the shade and whatever walks underneath it is all included in what is shade. So innocence or guilt? You can't have both in the big picture. I'm talking big picture. I'm talking the truth, what's really going on, you know, when it's all said and done. Let your mind go there and decide which is true, guilt or innocence. If you remain as God created you and if God is love, then innocence is the truth. Anything else is a dream. It's a dream that you've been entertaining yourself with, and it's starting to hurt if you're anything like me. Just move your mind now. Go to home, take it home in meditation and feel innocence deeply. Feel it deeply. Start right now for your way home. These hands that are holding you, I promise you this is true, all the way around the circle, wish for you complete innocence. All of us wish for each other. Go home in freedom. Go home in innocence. Know that innocence is your true nature and what's waiting for you when you just realize the truth of what you are and what's really going on. You're loved. Innocence is true. Take that with you. Thank you, thank you. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Good job, everybody.
Where'd you go? I'm going to go.